And I shared that with my Bible study back in Franklin a couple of weeks ago, and they just started laughing. And I thought, what in the world are you laughing for? I just don't think it's that funny. And one of the ladies spoke up and she said, way to go. Right from the beginning, how much do you know about the Bible? And can you draw it? And so Dan was the first to draw. Dan and I were a team. Steve and Kathy were a team. He turned over a card, and it said Nicodemus. And so Dan confidently picked up his pen, and he started to draw a really big tree. And then he drew a really little man inside of the really big tree. And I said, oh, this is an easy one. And I yelled out, Nicodemus! And he said, yes! And Steve and Kathy both said, no! What are you thinking? And in that moment, I thought, this might just be the man for me. Because we are both really confused. But at least we're on the same confused page together, right? So 31 years later, Dan has read Zacchaeus' story. We know that he is the man who was in the very big tree. We know what God did in his story and through this story. And I think today, I know today, God has something for each of our hearts as we go back to this place. It's a very special story for us because whenever I hear the name Zacchaeus or Nicodemus, I just have to giggle a little bit. Me too. So everything that we know about Zacchaeus, right, we're going to put that away for just a second. Dan just read his story, and I want to stop for a second, and before we think about all the things that we've just heard or all of our background knowledge about him, can I tell you that the name Zacchaeus means pure and righteous? And I just want to sit there for a couple of seconds and say again, the name Zacchaeus means pure and righteous. And we find out in the very first part of our story that this man named Zacchaeus, pure and righteous, was also a tax collector. And he wasn't just any tax collector. This is the only time in the Word of God where we are introduced to a chief tax collector. So this is a chief tax collector, and if you have studied this out, if you have heard sermons about tax collectors, if you've learned this in Sunday school years ago, we all know that tax collectors were not looked upon fondly by the Jewish people. Tax collectors were Jewish people, Jewish individuals who had made a decision to work for Rome in order to rob the Jewish people through extraordinary taxes that they could not pay in order to benefit their oppressors and themselves. And so when a Jewish man comes in and he's working for the oppressor, I mean, right there, I think I would want to turn around and run from anyone that wore the title chief tax collector. But we have Zacchaeus, who he is, and we have Zacchaeus, what he does. And now we're going to see where Zacchaeus is as our story starts. Because our story tells us that Jesus was entering Jericho and just passing through. Now, Jericho is a significant place in the Word of God. We sang about Jericho this morning. Lots of stories go back to Jericho. In fact, there are too many references, really, about Jericho in the Word of God to list them all for you today. But one of the things we know about Jericho is that it was a pass-through city. It sits at one of the entrances to the Judean mountains, and this is why it was the first city that the children of Israel, when they are going from one place to another, from the wilderness to the promised land, Jericho was the first city because it was the place that you would pass through in order to get to Jerusalem. And so think about all of the people through the years who made pilgrimages to Jerusalem. They had to go through, so many of them, if you were coming from Galilee specifically, or the wilderness, you would go through Jericho. Jericho is the place where Rahab welcomed the spies. Jericho is the first place that we see victory in the Promised Land. We see the battle won when the walls fell down through praise. Jericho is a significant city, but it's so interesting because it is a place that so many people passed through. And that's what we find Jesus doing today in our story. Jesus had completed a season of his earthly ministry in Galilee, and we are in Luke 19 here in today's scripture. It's interesting when you study out the Gospels and the story of how Jesus' birth, right, led to a season of ministry later on in life, took him to the cross, went in the grave, ascended, went back to the Father, the church was born. It's an exciting story. Luke 19 is not anywhere close to Luke 2. Luke 2 tells the birth. At Luke 19, we are much further into the story. And so if we are much further into the story, and Jesus has finished his time in Galilee, and he is on his way to Jerusalem, we are a couple of years into his ministry. Where is his very next stop? It is Jerusalem. Jesus is headed to the cross. And so we see Jesus passing through Jericho, where a man named Pure and Righteous has a job and is not very well liked. And Jesus just happens to be walking through this place. Guys, setting is important in the Word of God. Doesn't that just give you a picture right there about what is going on in the story? And when I read that, and I read just that first sentence, I know you do too, it just makes me say, tell me more. God, what do you want to say to me today as I'm passing through the place that I'm passing through, knowing that you see me in the places that I'm in? Now, Jesus was going from one place to the next. He was going from one season into the next, we could say. It was a time of change in his ministry. He's going to a different place. Zacchaeus also needed a season of change in his life, and that's really what we're going to look at today. Zacchaeus needed a place of transformation, a place of great change. Perhaps not physically, like we might think of with change sometimes, but perhaps spiritually, well, definitely spiritually, emotionally, mentally, whatever it looked like, Zacchaeus was going to be making a significant change as we go through this story. Now, the Bible uses two words for change or transformation in the New Testament. In the Word of God, these are both Greek words. The first one is souskematizo. That is a Greek word we find in the New Testament, souskematizo, and it means a change of outward appearance. It's the same word that you might think of when you think that you need a new wardrobe or you need a new outfit for a particular event. It is basically an external change, taking off one thing in order to put on another. It is only an external change. But it's found in a few very interesting places as a side note here. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11:14, when Paul talks about the fact that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. It is Satan can souskematizo himself into an angel of light. What does that mean? He can look like an angel of light on the outside, but it will never change his inner reality. It may look like light, what we see around us, but what is in the inside is not light at all. It's an external change. It's also found in Philippians 3:21, where Paul talks about that moment we sang just a minute ago, where we are going to, you know, be raptured or go to be with the Lord, however long the Lord should tarry. It's the same word there when he talks about, Paul talks about the fact that we are going to get on new bodies, right? We're going to leave behind these earthly bodies and we're going to put on a heavenly body. It's psuche metizo. It's going to look different on the outside, right? We're going to be whole, but it's not going to change the inner reality of who we are. As we trust in Jesus and we walk the road and we are followers of the Lord, right? We have an inner reality that is never going to change from here to there. But our bodies are going to be made new. And so psuche metizo is only an external change. But the second word for change or transformation in the Word of God is a word that sounds much like a word that we would use today. Metamorphosis. And this word, while it definitely sounds more like something we would perhaps learn in science class, it's interesting because it means a change that keeps us aligned with our inner reality. It's not just changing what's on the outside. It's when something inside of you lines up with who you were always created to be. And Zacchaeus is getting ready for some transformation when he encounters Jesus while Jesus is just passing through on the way to the cross. How many of you have heard this story on a flannel graph? Learned it in Sunday school. I remember being right back in that classroom. Emily was there. Zachary Black was there. And we had our flannel graphs. And we would tell the story about Zacchaeus. First of all, aren't we glad we teach our children these stories that happened and transformed lives then and can change our lives still today? Because God is always revealing more to us when we open up the Word of God. What we learn when we're 4, God says, now, keep that there. Because when you're 56, I'm going to show you something new. And so we build on these blocks as we walk in the way of Jesus. And here we are in this story that so many of us know. And I think we're going to see something, at least I have seen, something really new in this story. So Jesus, Dan just read, was entering Jericho and passing through. I love the fact that it says that he was the chief tax collector, but I also love, as we go further into the story, that he was wealthy. Keep that in the back of your mind. He's wealthy, he's the chief tax collector, and he hears that Jesus is coming into town, or he hears that Jesus is actually there, let's say. A lot of people had heard about Jesus at this time. I mean, we certainly would have heard about somebody who was walking around doing all of these good things, healing the blind, healing the deaf, people starting to talk that had never talked before. We would certainly have heard about that too, probably faster than they did back then. But we would have heard about that too, and we probably would have said, wow, I'd like to see that guy. Wow, I'd like to see what's going on. What is the story here that we're learning about? I'd like to see what's going on. But you know, I have to tell you, this is exactly where this message was going until last night when I felt like God showed me one more thing. In fact, I even changed the title last night, did not tell Greg. But in my notes here, I changed the title to, well, I'll tell you in a minute. He didn't just want to see who Jesus. He didn't just want to see Jesus. What's it say? He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And so I've changed the title to this message, See Who Jesus Is. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he went to the crowds. He went out to the place where he knew he could find out more in order to find out who Jesus was. And he finds out that there are way too many people for him, being on the shorter side of stature, to be able to see. And so what does he do? He makes a decision that he is going to go over to the really tall tree. In fact, if you study out sycamore figs, they are tall, tall, shady, big trees. He goes to the big tree. And he starts to climb Not because he wanted to just see Jesus, because he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, Zacchaeus had a problem. There was something in Zacchaeus' story that he couldn't conquer on his own, right? He could not change on his own. I love reading this, and what I see is he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because, and I put in my notes a big blank, he could not. Zacchaeus' story, the thing that he could not change, was that he was short. And because he was short, he could not see over the crowd to see who Jesus was. And that was the thing that forced him up into a tree. But as I was reading this and thinking about this over and over again, I started to think that in the places that I'm going through in my life that I cannot control, perhaps God has a tree waiting for me. And perhaps if I want to see who Jesus is today in my story, I shouldn't let the things that keep me back, places I can't go forward in on my own, I can't let those things stop me from pursuing who Jesus is, right? Jesus had two choices here. You can climb a tree or you can go home. Two choices. And it's the same thing for us in our lives today. I believe that Jesus, God, actually had purposed here for Zacchaeus to be the height that he was at that time, so that when the crowds came by, he could not see. Because he wasn't meant to be one of the crowd. Zacchaeus was meant to be a man who goes higher. And so the thing that was trying to keep him down was actually purposed by God to raise him up. To make him want more. To make him go after it. And so we see Zacchaeus, look, where can I go? I got to see who Jesus is in this challenge that I'm facing. I'm not going to go home. I'm going to go higher. And so Zacchaeus starts to climb a tree. Now we all know the higher we go, it changes our perspective. Married to a man who now knows who Zacchaeus is and is also a pilot, has put me in position to be in the air quite often. And I know, and you know too, when you're at that window seat and you look out the window, doesn't this happen to you? First thing I always do is if I'm taken off from different places where I know particular things, the Christiana Mall, my mom's house, where we lived, whatever it might be, the first thing we do is we look out and we start to, where's that? Where's that? I want to recognize that. I want to see what's going on. I want to see what I know when we're looking out the window. But after I find my house, it's so much fun. Then I say, well, where is this thing? Or where is that thing? Or, oh my goodness, look at, there's Wilmington, but I can see Philadelphia at the same time. All of a sudden, the higher you go, we get a different perspective. But what I love about gaining a different perspective is that we start to see how dots connect. We start to see, you know what? That house really isn't that far from that house. And actually, the beach really isn't that far from this place. We start to see how things connect on the great map of Delaware and Pennsylvania. But when we go higher in the faith, when we climb that tree because we want to know more about who Jesus is, and even, listen, at 56, we all know, regardless of how old you are, there is always more to know about who Jesus is. We will not know it all until we are face to face in eternity. And for now, we learn and we crave and we desire more of Jesus. Tell me who you are, Lord, in this part of my story. And so I love the fact that the dots start getting connected the higher you go. But I think the other thing that happens when you're going higher in an airplane is on those cloudy, dark days in life, the higher you go, you break through the clouds and you see that what? The sun never stops shining. It's just something gets in the way of our view. And so the higher we go, guys, we get to see that all all of these things in my life that really didn't make sense, and I had no idea why they were happening, and they were hard and they were difficult. The higher we go, finding out who Jesus is, it starts to come together. Bit by bit, piece by bit, and we piece by piece, and we find out what? That even though something may have been blocking in our perspective, that God has been in it the whole time. Doesn't that change our story? He's been in it the whole time. And I bet, we have a granddaughter, 4 years old, Lily. I love it when she connects dots. When she's coloring things and now she stays in the lines. I love it when she's figuring things out. I wonder if that brings that much joy or more to the Father when he starts to see us connecting the dots in our story. So in the hard times in life, guys, we have a choice, right? We can go home or we can climb a tree. And last night, I love how God does this. This is how the sermon title changed. Last night, I was laying in bed. I was trying to go to sleep because I kept saying, I know what time I want to get up for the morning. I need to get some rest. I was laying in bed, and don't you know, right, the tape recorder comes on or whatever it might be on repeat, and the things start rolling around in your head. And there's something that I've been carrying, right, something that I've been thinking about a lot, something that is kind of, I could say, is the thing that is keeping me a little short, keeping me from climbing a tree. And as I was laying in bed and I was thinking about it, what's the next thing that we do when we have a problem that keeps rolling around in our brain? After we review the problem for an hour or two, we start to review how we can fix it. And so I'm reviewing the problem and I'm reviewing how I can fix it. I'm reviewing the problem and how I can fix it. And then I'm telling you, I said to myself, what are you preaching on tomorrow? You are preaching tomorrow that in the things that we can't fix, we have to go higher. We have to climb a tree. And this is really where I feel like, I don't know, last night I felt like God spoke to me so clearly. Because I thought, you know what? How do I do that, God? How do I go higher in the situations that I'm in? It sounds good to say, go higher when you're in a struggle. Go higher when you're struggling. Don't you want to just say sometimes, well, what does that look like? How do I do that? How do I go higher? And God brought me back to Zacchaeus and said, what was Zacchaeus' main goal the whole time? He wanted to see who Jesus was. And so I felt God drop on my heart, who am I in this situation? The way you climb the tree, the way you go higher, the way you change your perspective is start to call out who Jesus is in your story. And I felt like last night there were things I felt like I could not control. And I literally was saying in my mind, in my heart, and I didn't want to wake Dan up, God, you are sovereign. And because you are sovereign, I don't have to worry about this part of my story. And you are in control. And because you are in control, that means he has a plan. And because I know he has a plan, I don't have to make one. This is where you start to, maybe I can go to sleep. I don't have to make the plan. God's got the plan. And then I started thinking to myself, and he loves me. That's also who I see in this story. He loves me and he loves my family. And so when I think about the fact that my family is well-loved, well taken care of, it takes some of that burden off of me. And do you know that as soon as last night I started to call out in my heart all that God is, who Jesus is in the places where I fall short, all of a sudden my perspective changed and I was able to go to sleep. What does it look like to go higher? It looks like seeing who Jesus is in the places you can't control and start calling it out. You know what? When the people are not asleep around you, start calling it out with your mouth. When you are just walking down the street, start saying, my God is faithful. My God is good. He's getting me through it. He's bringing the walls down, right? Start calling out who he is. Speaking the words and the truth of God will build your faith. And God will allow you to be in position for that faith-building moment. I believe that God has a place for all of us in our stories, in the places that we cannot control, for us to go higher. Wow, I have a whole list of places we could go there, but we're going to move on. The second thing I see here, as Zacchaeus is now in the tree, he's not just positioning himself to see who Jesus is. He's positioning himself to be seen by Jesus, which is a big one too. Verse 5 says that when Jesus reached the spot, I love this, Jesus looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now let's go back to those first few moments together today. Do you remember that thing we sat on for a moment? Jesus reaches the spot where Zacchaeus is. And he's going to have an encounter with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus is going to have an encounter with Jesus. And so Jesus sees him. He's just passing through. He sees him in the big tree, and he calls out, and he uses his name. And he calls out, and he says what? "Zacchaeus." Now, Jesus could have just as easily said, "You." And listen, I'd be blown away. I'd be getting down that tree so fast if Jesus said, "You get out of that tree." I'd be like, "Yes, yes." Or he could have said, "Chief tax collector, get out of that tree." And I would be like, "Oh man, he knows me. I'm getting out of this tree. He knows what I do. I'm out." But he doesn't. He calls up to the tree, "Zacchaeus." This is where I've been getting a little emotional as I've been preparing for this, guys. "Pure and righteous. Pure and righteous one. Get out of the tree. Because pure and righteous one, I got to come to your house." Names were significant in the Bible. I know they still are today. But we do choose our names a little differently, something that sounds nice to us, whatever it might be. We choose names for lots of different reasons. You know, in the Word of God, people were given names primarily for two reasons. One would be it would mark something that was going on in the story of the parent. We see that when Rachel gives birth to Benjamin in the Old Testament. But so many times in the Word of God, names are given with a meaning that the one giving the name is calling the one receiving the name to live up to. And so when Zacchaeus' parents, who would have been Jewish individuals, gave Zacchaeus the name Pure and Righteous, I wonder how many times Zacchaeus must have said in his current position, "Why would you give me that name? I'm not walking that name. I'm not living that name. But the one whom Isaiah 43 says calls us by name," love that, when we're in the fire, when we're in the flood, he is calling us by name. "And the one who calls us by name and gives us the name knew what Zacchaeus' name was, and he wasn't afraid to call it out." Zacchaeus, you may be doing the thing, but I've always called you pure and righteous. You've always been the one that I would walk through Jericho to find and remind you of who you really are. But now let's flip it around. Because verse 7 says that Jesus, or Jesus' voice, is not the only one that is heard at this time. What does it say in verse 7? Let's go back. "One man is calling out truth, and all of the people begin to mutter." Mutter. When you mutter, do you want people to hear it? You kind of keep it quiet, right? But you, if everybody in here started to quietly talk or mutter, we would hear it. Enough mutterers cause quite a commotion. And so Jesus is calling out, pure and righteous. And all of the other people are calling out, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. And Jesus is saying, pure and righteous. And everybody else is saying, don't you know what he's done? Don't you know what she's done? Don't you know her past? Don't you know his past? And Jesus continues to just say, pure and righteous, come out of the tree. I want to have an encounter with you. I feel like this is such a word, guys. Because we have a choice in life who we're going to listen to. And there are so many voices around us. And everybody else in this story is saying, you cannot have Jesus in your house because of all of the things that you've done. You are not just the sinner. You are the chief sinner. You are the one who is unable, unfixable, unlovable. You are all of these things that don't line up with who Jesus is. And Jesus is still at the bottom of the tallest tree, seeing the littlest guy. Ever feel small and insignificant? He sees you and he is calling out to you the very same thing that he has from the very beginning. He knows what your name is. He's got a new one for you in eternity. And he has always called you the very same thing. You are pure and righteous in his sight. That is where he is leading you. And transformation is going to take you there. Which voice do we want to listen to? Whose voice are we going to believe? The crowd? And sometimes the crowd is right here. Are we going to listen to the crowd? Or are we going to listen to the one who always speaks the truth in love? You know, I love the voice of the Lord when I open up the Word of God. I know you do too. And as I study God's Word in the morning, I have never once opened up God's Word and seen a verse in there that tells me that I am not good enough to come back again. I have never seen one place in the Word of God that says, you can't have another chance. I have never seen one place where God says that you are not worth coming after again. In fact, every time that I open up God's Word, this is what I see. You are my treasure. You are beloved of the Father. You are worth it. You are holy. You are righteous. You are a child of the King. I have a plan for you. I have created you. I have good for you. And I look at the things that I did yesterday, and I look at the things that maybe I just did on my way to my Bible, thinking things because I didn't want to get up too early or whatever it might be, complaining, muttering, or who knows what it is in my past that has come up to try to bring me down. God's Word never, ever condemns us. It only leads us back in love to the Father. He has always loved us from the beginning. And that list of things that I just referenced that we didn't go over, I think that some of those places are actually the things that keep us from believing who we are to God and listen to the crowd of the mutterers. You know, we want to see who Jesus is, but we've got a lot of doubts. And because we have a lot of doubts, we're not going to climb that tree to find out more. Or we're living in a place where we're really afraid. We want to see who Jesus is in our story, but we've been really struggling with fear. And because we are so afraid, we can't take that step to climb higher. I believe that Jesus was saying, Zacchaeus, I see you where you are with all of the stuff that's gone on in your story, and I'm here to make you whole. And I love this too. All throughout the scripture that we just read, Zacchaeus ran. Zacchaeus, you must come down. I'm going there today. And so Zacchaeus climbs right back down that tree in a hurry. And he gets to that house. Throughout the Word of God, especially in the story, there is an urgency to know who Jesus is. Right? We don't know, right? We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There is an urgency with that. But I also was thinking about this. It's so easy to come to a place where you're like, yes, Lord, I want to be who you are. I mean, be like you. I want to give my heart to you. I want to do all these things. And then the next thing, it's just like squirrel, right? Whoop. And we go the other way. And I feel like there's an urgency here because Jesus didn't want Zacchaeus to be impacted by the crowd anymore. Right now, Zacchaeus, you know who you are. Come back to me right now. And so Zacchaeus makes this choice that he is urgently going to run after Jesus. Now Jesus goes into his house, and in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up. There's a lot of up in this scripture. He stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give away half of my possessions to the poor." Remember, this is a really wealthy guy. "And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to pay him back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." We know this one. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." What happens in this story? I love this, because Jesus, this is the moment of transformation, and this is going to be that metamorphosis. This is the time or the moment where Zacchaeus' internal reality is going to transform into what he was always created to be, the purpose he was always created to be for. And so Zacchaeus goes into the house. We don't hear any details about what happened. Did they eat? Did they recline? You know, they were always reclining when they were eating in the Bible. What happened? What did it look like? They must have been seated at one spot, because Zacchaeus stands up. And so he stands up and he says to the Lord, he just makes this declaration. "There are things in this house that do not belong here anymore." And so he tells the Lord, "I am just going to get rid of all of this stuff that I've gained through my past, through having all of this money that isn't mine," right? He looks at all of this stuff and he says, "I'm just going to get rid of it. In fact, I want to make sure that I am so rid of all of the stuff that has brought me down in the past. I am going to give four times the amount. Four times the amount of the stuff that I have taken, I'm going to give back." That is how hard he is running after God. Transformation is happening in Zacchaeus' house. Why does transformation take place? And as I was thinking this through, how did this transformation come to be? It took one man who positioned himself to be seen, and it took one Savior to see him where he was and lean into his story. There's a definition of grace that actually is to lean in toward, to lean forward toward, to be favorable toward. And so we see that this transformation is happening in Zacchaeus' story, because why? Zacchaeus leans in, Jesus leans in, and Zacchaeus starts to see who Jesus is. And I do have to stop and say that the only place that we can see who Jesus is in the Word of God. That's our plumb line. That's our plumb line, the Word of God. We can hear a lot of people telling us what they think or who they think Jesus is. The only Jesus, right, is the one found in the Word, the one that can lean in and be favorable toward you and in grace change you. And so Zacchaeus finds out that this Jesus, who is he in this moment? He's one that accepts you where you are and brings you in. He's one that will seek you out and never stop pursuing you. He will never stop pursuing you. We see that in Jonah's story. But I want to jump into the New Testament here. Romans 12:1-2, if you have your Bibles open. This is now Paul in the New Testament. And Romans 12, I'm sure there are many people in here who are big fans of Romans 12. Romans 12 is power-packed. Every word of God is power-packed. Romans 12 always hits me. It says, "Therefore I urge," interesting, urge, urgency also, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul is saying there is an urgency here to give your whole self up as a sacrifice, right? As an offering of worship to our Savior, to our God. But watch how we do it. He says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of the world. That word conform just happens to be souske matizo. Do not souske matizo to the pattern of the world. What did souske matizo mean? To change on the outside. Do not conform, do not souske matizo to the world. Instead be transformed, instead be metamorphosed into what? The image of God, right? To the pattern, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world. Be transformed, be metamorphosed into who you were always created to be by the renewing of your mind. Here's a couple of quick takeaways from this passage. Guys, the world cannot metamorpho you. The world can only tempt you to conform. The world can't change your inner reality because it didn't create your inner reality. And so because the world didn't create you, it cannot change who you really are. The only one that can metamorpho you back to who you were always created to be is the one who created you. The only one that can actually get in there and remind you of who you are and who you've always created to be is the Lord our God. That is exciting news. The world also cannot renew your mind. We can just start with the fact that didn't make the mind. You can't re-something unless you did the first thing in the first place, right? The world can't renew our minds because it never made them new in the first place. Only the Lord can renew our minds. The world can only tempt us to conform to its image, but it can't change us on the inside, right? Because only Christ can truly make us new on the inside. And so what do we see in this passage? Paul is saying, if you are going to just conform to the world standards, if you're just going to change your outside, you're going to go this way or go that way because the world says it, can I tell you, and we all know this, every single day the world is saying something new. And if this world, souske matizo, means to put on new clothes, change on the outside, it would be just like every day when you wake up, you'd have to look and see what's the fashion trend for the day, the only thing that's acceptable to wear. And then you'd have to go out and get a new pair of clothes and come back on and change your clothes before you could go out in the world. That is what it is. The world wants you to conform to its standard, but its standard is always changing. How frustrating it would be if you never could add up to what you are hearing and you could never get it right. The Word of God's standard never changes. But I think it's really interesting, and this is one of those moments when I was studying God's word that I kind of said, wow. God doesn't say through Paul in Romans 12, don't conform to the world, instead conform to the laws and the things that I've said to do in the word. He doesn't say, don't do this, but do this. It's not a list of law of yes and no's, right? God doesn't say, don't do this, and now here is a list of what you can and what you cannot do. That's not what this says. This actually says, don't conform to the world. Be transformed on the inside. Because it all starts on the inside and works its way out. Right? We're not looking for a list of do's and don'ts. We're looking for a relationship with the Savior. But then what happens to Zacchaeus? This is where Zacchaeus comes back into the story. Zacchaeus encounters Jesus. He's metamorphosed. He's back to living who God made him to be. And what starts to happen? Metamorpho leads to souske matizo. He's encountered Jesus and he's like, I want this so much. I want to be all in with what you've got going on, God. I want to be so in that my response now is to take off what doesn't look like Jesus, what doesn't look like the standard of the word, and I want to put on what God tells me to put on. Listen, we obey God not because, right, it's this, this, and this. We obey God because we have been in our place. He has seen us in a tree. He has called out our name, and we have made a choice that in love, we are choosing. I want to live your way. You never change. I don't have to worry when I get up in the morning about what I'm going to wear. I know what God requires of me. And the first thing that he wants is my heart. It's the first thing he wants. And out of that pours everything else. If you have heard anything else, right, about Jesus that doesn't line up with the fact that he's after you, and when he comes into the house, you start to see things a little differently and make some changes. And just like all of us, right, it's change after change after change, then that's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is after your heart, and then the process of sanctification works in as we go. How did Zacchaeus know what he should get rid of, what didn't belong in the house? Romans 12 tells us that when we are no longer conformed to the world and we are transformed by new minds with Christ, it says, then we will be able to know and approve what God's will is. I've always thought of that verse, and this is true, that when I am in line with Christ and I need to know a direction in my life, I can know the will of God and which way to go when I am lined up with his ways. That is 100% true. But don't you know there's also those day by day, minute by minute, is this God's will? Is that God's will? Is that God's will? Right? Minute by minute decisions on what God's will is. Paul says that when you have your mind transformed, you're going to know what God's will is, and God's will is everything that is good, pleasing, and perfect. And those words mean upright and honorable, agreeing, and complete. So when you are metamorphosed, living out the life that Christ has for you, you're going to know what is good and should stay in the house, and you're going to know what doesn't line up with the word and needs to go. Zacchaeus didn't have to walk around. This is huge. He did not have to walk around and say, should this go? Should that go? What about this? What about this? Jesus was in the house. And if it didn't line up with Jesus, it had to go. So much so that he went four times over. Huge, huge, huge. Oh, Jesus metamorphosed Zacchaeus, and the outflow was euskematizo. He was conformed to the word because he was metamorphosed by the Savior. Emily's here today. I love it when I'm with Emily. And I say that because Emily moved recently, just a few months ago. And this is also where I don't cry. But Emily moved just a few months ago. We used to live just 2 miles away from each other, and we don't live 2 miles away from each other anymore. And it was really interesting to watch how she moved. Because the first day of the move, a truck came, and everything that was necessary went into the truck. In fact, I remember Emily calling me and saying, my sofa's in the truck, my bed's in the truck, my tables are in the truck. Like, when they're no longer in the house and they're in the truck, it just starts to look different. And so all of these things that were absolutely necessary for what was next went into the truck. And the truck went away and went to the new place, and those pieces were put in place. There was still stuff in the house. And so Emily would come back, and she would look at the new place, and she would come back to the old place. And I remember saying, I'm just not really sure exactly what's going to fit in the new house in this particular space, because maybe the wall is a little different or whatnot. And so she would come, and she would take from the old place the things that fit in the new place. Right? And she would pile them up in her car, and she'd go back down the road, and she'd put them into her house. And I remember that happened a few times. And at one point, there was still a lot of stuff in the house. And I remember at one point, Emily came back and she said, I just don't have room for this stuff anymore. In fact, there's spaces in my new place that I want to leave open for the new. Now, why did Emily make a choice to leave behind some of the things from the past and not bring them into the future space that she was going to? It's because on December 15th of 2023, Emily got married. She's no longer a Perino. She's now a Pinar. Who she is on the inside, there has been a significant shift on the inside. And now every decision that she makes is aligned with the new. And the things from the past that didn't fit in fact, it's interesting, Zacchaeus, I thought to myself, I wonder what Zacchaeus did with all that space. House church? Who knows? I wonder what he did with that great big house. But Emily's story, she intentionally didn't bring things that would fit into this closet because this closet now belongs to her man. And so she looks at her new space and she said, I need to make room for what is new because what is old doesn't fit there anymore. And so I know that you know this. When you packed up that last round of things and took it to the Goodwill, she called me up and she said, I actually feel really free. I actually feel like I have been able to let go, and she is now living her best life in a new place with a great guy, with a new name. And so what happened? There was a change on the inside, a metamorpho. It led to Suske Matizo. Same thing that happened with Zacchaeus. There was a change on the inside that led to change on the outside. And it's the very same thing for us today. To wrap it up, 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of my top favorite verses. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Another version says, as we are changed from glory to glory, one of my favorites. The Lord who makes us more like him as we are changed from glory to glory. The Lord who makes us more like him as we are metamorphosed from glory to glory to glory. He is constantly lining us up with who we were created to be. A child of God, fully following Jesus. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing. We are blessed, guys. Blessed to have a Savior that searches us out, sees us in the tree, knows our weakness, knows our story, calls us by our name, loves us as we are. And then it is a blessing for him to say, this thing here, it's got to go because I got something so much better for you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we love. As Zoltan comes up, today's message is one of the messages in the sermon series, messages I want to preach. Well, this song is the song I want to sing. I will not be singing it. Zoltan will be singing it. But just to wrap up here, I want to ask you some questions as we're singing these next two songs. And of course, the altars are always open, right? Always open. And there's always an urgency to spend that time with Jesus if he's putting something on your heart. Zacchaeus had a choice to go home or go higher. We see where higher led him. Jesus was going through Jericho on the way to the cross, but he was also going through Jericho on the way to Zacchaeus. Because Jesus knew Zacchaeus would be there, and he knew that we'd each be here today too. So as we sing this song, you know, God is always pursuing us. We're going to sing Goodness of God. And I love these words because I've mentioned in here, I love God's voice. I love it when I open up his word and I hear him speak to my heart. I love God's voice. His goodness is always running after you. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus' story was. It's always running after you. So as we sing today, are there things that are holding you back from seeing Jesus in the places that you can't change or you can't control? That's really the first question today. Because if there are, you can climb a tree, and I know there will be people to help you climb that tree. Do you know how deeply you are loved? Do you believe that when Jesus stands at the tree and you are in it, that he's actually calling out good things and not reminding you of your past? Can you believe that? Do you believe it? You can, because it's true. And the last thing is, where do you think that God might be calling you to make room for something else? Are you someone who's been following Jesus for a long time and maybe it's time for a change? Maybe he's saying, just, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But it's time to move that out in order to bring something else in. God's goodness is always running after us. Let's sing. Worship Him. You guys all want to stand? And let's praise the one who calls you who you are. The one who wants to metamorpho you in order to bring you to Suske Matizo. We have a good, good Father chasing after us.